Introduce our first speaker. It's Lolita F. from the D.C. area by way of east of the river.
My name's Lolita, and I'm grateful for this gift of recovery. First, I want to thank God for showing me this new way of life. And I want to thank the CPR, CNA 23, because somebody saw something in me that I still try to find in myself. And I'm going to try not to be emotional, but every time I think about my story, and how I really didn't have a plan on being an addict. That was not in the plan. You know, the literature says regardless of sex, creed, religion, origin, where I was a productive member of society and addiction was not addiction to a drug was not supposed to be in the plan. But God does what he does. He allows me to do what I want to do. So here I am, and I'm an addict. And I find out about Narcotics Anonymous because I'm the addict that really didn't, I really didn't want to identify that I was an addict, okay? I'm just telling y'all a little bit about me, my story. Denial could have killed me. But on my last run, see, I need to tell y'all too, but the addiction first for me was the lifestyle. You know, I would distribute it. Before you know it, I wasn't going outside getting a tester. I became the tester. So then I found out about Narcotics Anonymous because, again, addiction, I didn't know anything about addiction. So I wind up in Narcotics Anonymous. And they tell me when I come in the door, because see, I'm the addict that could smoke on the weekend and go to work all week. But at the end, I was smoking from sun up to sundown. I was calling the job and telling them that I wasn't coming. I had to use every excuse in the book. Okay, but after we get here, we get clean and we still get another story. And I done got that story of pain, of just living life on life terms, because I surrendered to God when I came in here. And I asked him to let everything be his will and not my will. And sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. Because God allows some things to happen in your life to let you know that you don't have any control. And that's where I am today. Everything ain't the way I would like it to be, but everything ain't the way it could be if I smoke crack. So they say, regardless of, wow. I had a whole lot of regardless ofs where I really would like to get high, but because the compulsion and the obsession has been lifted, I need to find another way of getting high. I can shop, I can have sex, I can do whatever, but because, remember I said I surrendered, and I ask God to let it be his will. I got to go through the feelings. And a lot of time I need to tell y'all, the feelings don't feel good. I can't medicate the feeling. I can't act out on the feeling. Because, see, I have some morals, some values, and some principles today. And I set boundaries in my life that I don't allow nobody to overstep. So we have a story when we come in here, and we get a story when we get here. Well, this is mine while I'm here. I done been homeless in this program clean. It wasn't a result of my unmanageability. It was that I needed to move out of where it wasn't because I didn't pay the rent. It was because they didn't want to renew my lease. So I had to find somewhere else to live. But the gratitude was that I had the money to find somewhere to live, the place where I really wanted to buy a house, and God was just telling me that it wasn't time, but I wasn't listening. So I had to stay in a hotel with my children for 10 days, but the gratitude is that I had the money to pay for it. I done been in problems on the job, in and out of internal investigations, because when we come here, we go many places, and people don't know really who they got up in those facilities. You know, so newcomer, I'm here to tell you that just because you use drugs when you get clean, there are no limitations. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. You can be whoever you want to be in this program, because that's what the program instills in you. It gives you and your life back, and it gives you a better life. And a lot of days ain't going to be good days, but a lot of days are successful days as long as I don't smoke. Because if I smoke crack, ain't none of that stuff going to matter anyway. So here I am, and I stand before y'all, and I'm the addict that had the job in the facility. You wouldn't believe where, in the police department. An addict like me, do they know how much drugs I sold on the street and how much crack I smoked? Nah. So we can do anything. You know, in and out on the job, internal investigations, suspension without pay, wondering how I'm going to pay the rent because I ain't getting a paycheck, going back to work and getting the money just when the sheriff knock on the door. God is awesome. Only did I know that he was preparing me, because I really started not liking my job. He was preparing me for when the job was gone. So now the job is gone. And I had to quit, but they really was going to fire me. But God will place people in your life that'll let you know about things before they get ready to happen. See, I know he got angels around me. So all he's saying, Lolita, is no matter what, regardless of what happens, I have you, I got you, and this program tells me I don't have to use in the process of waiting. So the job is gone, and I still can't smoke crack. So I gotta sit still, and I'm learning how to do that comfortably. My bills are piling up. I don't know nothing about social services because I always had a job. But somebody tell me that they'll help me. But see, I suffer from self-reliance too. Yeah. I don't need everybody to know what's going on. But when I come in here, I tell y'all everything that's going on. Because somebody going to help me. And they saying, Lolita, regardless of, you don't have to smoke any crack. But then my disease will tell me, you've been clean longer than you use. You can go get you a package and flip it. Then God show up again and say, remember you became the tester, so you'll smoke again. So I don't know how the bill's gonna get paid. I just sit still, and I still can't smoke no crack. I can't buy no package to hustle. Cause now I done filled the void with God, and I done learned how to wait on Him. I'm just grateful for this program. Y'all don't know how grateful I am for this program. Regardless of what goes on, I don't have to use. And that in itself is a miracle. So I find myself, I want to say, I'm on the surgical table. See, because on the surgical table, that's when God is removing everything in me that I think I need to hide so He can purify me, just so He can prepare me for whatever His purpose is for me. And I got some bad behaviors. And I really wanted to act out on one of them on yesterday. And the worst thing about it is, doing the right thing don't always feel good. And in spite of how I'm feeling, regardless of how I'm feeling, God tells me today, Lolita, you have to do the right thing, even when I don't want to. Because I'm that addict. That I don't even have to put my hands on you. I got a tongue like a sword. And now I don't want to be that person today because that person scares me. So I got to come in the rooms and I got to strip. I have to get naked like the child that I came in the world. And I got to tell y'all who I am, what's going on with me, how I'm feeling, so somebody can pull me up and say, Lolita, just don't use. So somebody can give me some help and tell me what to do. Now, everybody ain't got my best interest at heart. But you still got to pray for them people, too. So now, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm where God has centered me to be, to receive whatever His purpose is for me. And I gotta be ready, just like I was ready to hit the pipe. But now, let me change that, because I ain't hit the pipe. I smoke crack off of glass. Yeah, aluminum foil. I ain't trying to get nobody high. But I just want to let you know, when I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, it was only until I came in the rooms that I found out that there was a tool that I could buy and really use it. But I made a choice. See, because we do get choices still, you know. I made a choice to stay here instead of going out there and trying to smoke it the right way. Regardless of whatever happens, newcomer, we don't use. If you use, it's because you wanted to use. See, because we come in here and we get a sponsor. Because you can't sponsor yourself. Now, don't sponsor yourself. If you sponsor yourself, you're only going to pick up where you left off. That means you're not finished. We do some step work. We don't just buy the literature, we use it. And a lot of time when we doing that house cleaning, we're going to find out some things that we don't like about ourselves, but it's okay, regardless of what has happened to you. See, because I done been molested by a family member. You know, we have a whole lot of things that happen to us. I'm not going to go through my step work here, you know. So life is showing up. And a lot of days ain't the way I would like them to be. I don't have a lot of the money that I'm used to having. But I ain't in need of anything. My necessities are being met. I have a landlord that knows that I have paid her on time, that's willing to work with me. I have a brother that lives with me that's paying all the bills right now. So I don't have no excuse. I could create one. You know, because we had some great, I had some great ideas out there when I was using. And when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, all the ideas didn't exist anymore. I'm a realist today. It is what it is. I can't smoke no crack to it. I can't sell no package. I can't sex to it. I can't shop to it because I ain't got no money. And I'm all right with not having no money today. Because the peace that I have with myself is priceless. The relationship that I've developed with the God of my understanding is priceless. He has shown me through relationships, when the dudes say, you know, it's something where I can remember before I started using, I despise the liar and the thief. When I started smoking crack, I became both of them. So now that I'm here and I have developed some principles, you know, you really don't have to lie to me because I've developed a heart that loves unconditionally. You don't have no reason to lie to me about anything. So I done grieved the relationship. I done got past that. Homeless. I done had a car repossessed. I done buried loved ones. And what I have learned is that throughout it all, as long as I don't take my will back and I surrender to the God of my understanding, regardless of, I don't have to use. My plate is full right now. So I've been doing a lot of praying and a lot of meditating. Because I don't want to use. And a lot of days I'm real scared. So I have to go to a lot of meetings and I have to share about where I am. And the good thing about this program is that when you come in here, you start taking off the mask, and I'm one of those that wore 1,000 masks. And now I can't even hide anything that I feel. So regardless of what's going on, somebody always know, even if I say, I'm all right. This program is awesome. Because it has, when I started smoking crack, I lost me. I became spiritually bankrupt. And now that my spirit is being rebuilt, I can't use. I gotta go through, feel what I'm feeling, deal with whatever it is that comes out the faucet. But I've learned that as long as I surrender and give it to God and don't try to do it my way, the pain becomes a whole lot lesser. And the freedom becomes greater. I don't know who I'm gonna help today. I don't know if anybody got any help today, even if it's just one person. This is for the newcomer. We get in here, life shows up. A whole lot of times it's not gonna be what we want it to be. But just remember, when you smoke crack, you ain't got no life. That's my story. I ain't have no life. I gave it up. The children were still there, the house was still there, but I was gone. Spiritually. And I can't use. Narcotics Anonymous is awesome. So newcomer, when you get in here, get in the middle of this thing. If you need some help, don't be afraid to ask, because our literature says in the green book, the how it works and why, in the 12th step, it says, your story is just what your story is, regardless of what your story is. Nobody has a right to judge you. That don't mean a lot of them not going to. But my sponsor always told me when they got worried about what's going on with you, that's because they not trying to look at themselves. But I don't care what nobody says. When I first came in here, I didn't think I had a story because I thought I wasn't as bad as some people. But I'm getting my story while I'm in here. Because I done been stripped of everything. And I still can't get high. I just want to thank God for doing for me what I tried many times to do for myself. I want to thank God for being the center of my life today. I don't do nothing without putting Him in it first. In the midst of it and at the end, that's just how things have happened in my life. I don't rely on man anymore. And when I say relying on man, I'm talking about male or female in the physical aspect. I rely on the spirit. The same one that showed me the grace and mercy when I got here. I have a lot of gratitude today in spite of what's going on in my life. Regardless of it, I can't use. I was real nervous, and I just asked God to speak through me to allow me to be the vessel and the messenger. I don't want to smoke crack today. I don't want to sell any packages today. Because that same woman that came through the doors of Narcotics Anonymous February 11th of 2003 is not exempt. I want to live today because God has something for me. I don't know what it is, but I'm on a journey to find out what my destiny is. And I can't smoke any crack. Regardless of what happens in my life today, I'm glad that I have a God of my understanding that tells me that I can trust him, believe in him, and he'll take me through and get me through anything that goes on. I don't want to scare nobody talking about God, but I love God today because the same God, he loved me through it, gave me the guidance and showed me the way so that I could find my way here. Because I really wanted to die. And I really don't want to die today. I want to live. So what, Lolita, the job is gone. That don't mean I'm just going to sit at home and wait on God. I have to do some footwork. So don't get it twisted, newcomer. Because I'm sharing about God and how I trust him and how much faith I have. We still have to do the work. So I've been going on job interviews, fighting my job to get my unemployment. For real, I don't even want the unemployment. But whatever God sees fit to do, he gonna do. I wanna go to work. So before I come to the convention, I go to an interview. And they send me for a drug test. And I just looked up and said, you know what, God, thank you. Because I could remember many a days I didn't go for the drug test. I didn't go back for the next interview. I ain't call the job to find out what happened. None of that. But today, I can work anywhere I want to. Because all the jobs is doing it now. So I just really, really thank Narcotics Anonymous for giving me my life back. Even though it's not the way I want it to be, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Newcomer. It is awesome on this side. It is awesome on this side. I wouldn't trade this in for all the money in the world, as broke as I am today. But my spirit not broke today. So I'm really rich. So if this your first time, keep coming back. It gets better and better and better and better and better and better and better. And better. And eventually, at the end of the road, it gets much easier to turn it over to the God of your understanding. Because you trusted him and he brought you in here. He saved you for a reason. We are nothing but teachers. He needs us. We need him. I left him. He never left me. And I'm grateful for that. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank Lolita Felicita for a share. And for our following speaker, we have Tony C. from D.C. area.
Hi, my name is Tony, and I'm an addict. I'm in the ballroom. Dope fiend in the ballroom. Regardless of dot, dot, dot. The theme of the convention is diversity is our strength. And the children is up in here. I'm a queen. I'm no transformer. I'm not none of that shit. I am a recovering addict. I am a child of God. I came through here and I was wanting to be safe in Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't believe in this program. How the hell can some crackheads and some dope fiends tell me how to live? I needed professional help. I didn't need to be in no room with no thieves and murderers and pickpockets and whores. I had skills. You know, I came from a good family. They tried to do the best they could for me. My mother loved me. My father, I was the youngest of four. And being the youngest, you know, back in the day when your families and stuff was striving to do the best they could for their kids and stuff, you know, and I would always have to look at my father's face. And no, I was not the child that he expected. And I felt the disappointment. You know, they bought me trains and robots and shit. I wanted doll babies. I got beat for combing the hair out of my sister's doll babies. I got punished for being in the kitchen trying to cook. So that's why I couldn't keep no man. I can't keep no man. I can't cook. Because I don't know how to do those things. I was a whore on the street. You know what I'm saying? My life consisted of, you know, they had all these dreams. Everybody had all these expectations of me. The doctor, the lawyer, you have to be the best. And I just felt like I was the disappointment. So my father was beating my mother. And I left home. Because I heard them arguing and stuff, talking about that's why it's like it is now. And I loved my mother. So I left, and I went up on 14th Street in D.C. And 14th Street is really, really different today. Y'all can sit outside and eat. That shit wasn't going on. It was pimps and prostitutes, big lights, money, money, money. They sat at the bars and stuff with cigarettes and blew smoke and they had cocktails. I was underage and went in there and would just watch those ladies. And they would go out and they would come back and they'd have money. They had coats with fur collars. Yes. So I didn't want to be the lawyer. I didn't want to do all that shit. I wanted a rabbit coat. I wanted a rabbit coat. That's what I thought it was about. Look good, have money, and a rabbit coat. So I started. I went out, and they used to always grab me and say, come on, girl, you come out and go hustling with me. So I'm red. You know what I'm saying? I'm 17 years old. Tricks was stopping. They put me in the middle. The pants would come down. I'd be talking. The wallet, they would have the wallet. The trick be over. I'm running. I get to the end of the alley. They talking about, girl, all he had was $30. So I go, and we ended up copping. I go back downtown. The trick is flying around the corner and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is he flying? He only had $30. So I didn't, they knew how to steal. I didn't know how to steal yet. You know, but I got to, it's something about when you get using, you get tired of that shit. You know, I want the whole quarter. I want to go to the pan by myself with my own works. Pay for my hitter by myself. I didn't like splitting all that shit because they gave you water shots. It was a vicious mob I hung out with. So I had to learn fast. So, you know, I started tricking and I would be what you wanted me to be. I'd be the Indian. I went to the hotel one time with this guy with a turban on and let this man put olive oil all over my body and robbed him and had to run uptown with olive oil dripping off of me in about 99-degree weather. But all I knew was I needed to get to the dope man. It was over for me. By that time, the rabbit coat had no pockets, safety pins, a half a hammer. Those was my tools to work with. The disease, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of conversation after that. The dates would stop and say, I paid you for a blowjob. Give me my money back. I was like, child, police. You know, I got in the car, and it's something about the whole process and the skill of prostitution where you start talking so fast and stuff. And I jumped in the car and I was into my routine and stuff about, yeah, I just need a ride. Cause by that time, I wasn't asking for no money. It was just like, I just need a ride up the street, okay? You know what I'm saying? And you know, I'll do something for the ride or whatever. And I looked over and he had the collar on. It was the priest or something. I'm like, oh God. So I looked and I said, child, just get on out. Just get on out. So that's how my life was for me, you know? So it went real quick. All of the glitz and the glamour, it just vanished. You know, when they locked me up and stuff, I didn't have time for sitting down central cell block and all that shit. I told the marshals, fuck y'all, get me over to the jail. I need to lay down. The judge is not going to let me out, okay? You don't even have to do all that. What is on? I'm hungry. I'm hungry, goddamn it. So I would lay down for 30 days, 60 days, get all fat and lovely again, and come right on back out. And I did that from like 17 years old to like, oh my God, just all of that shit. I had a DC number, I went over to jail, I've been in a federal institution, they handcuffed me and shackled my little ass down. I rode planes and buses and all that shit. Oh, child. It was rough. But my girlfriend and stuff, she was like, she joined this like cult, that N.A. cult, baby. And she came down and she would come down on the corner and I'd say, Miss Thing, get away from me with that N.A. madness. You have lost your heart. You are a loser. How can you have all them skills? And you sitting up there in the NA meeting. So it was one day I had $20, and it was a meeting on 14th and Q. They had methadone. The methadone clinic was downstairs. And by this time, I had been in almost every methadone clinic in D.C., and they put me out. Because, you know, I was shooting dope on the highest doses of methadone, buying Cinequans and stuff and all that old shit, volumes, all that old shit outside and stuff. And that was just to get me started. You know what I'm saying? That was just enough. So I had $20. She had on this old, she was doing hair, and she had just got into the program, and she didn't even have a goddamn beauty salon suit that fit her. The goddamn pants was way down here. The jacket was long. I was like, Miss Thing, get yourself together. You taking me up into the NA meeting and stuff, and I'm going in there, and they just are smiling. Just losers. Just are smiling. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand. What have y'all was that hot? No hustling ability. The police was after y'all motherfuckers. Damn. Hiding up in here. But she was in here, and I watched her life change. You know, she was just like me. She couldn't hustle as good as I could. You know, it's something about her. You know, it was just something. She didn't have the gift of gab and all that other stuff. You know, she was just a pretty girl. She was just, she had no skills. But you know what I say? I had to, you know, I needed a buddy. I needed my buddy with me. Her life got together in here. So I was wondering. She would come down to the brass rail and stuff, and I'd be at the bar drunk and high and all kinds of stuff. And she said, Miss Thing, are you ready yet? And I said, Miss Chell, come on now. And she had that old crew, that old NA crew following her everywhere. Y'all know how y'all do. It'd be a mob. She had that old NA crew just a following her. And I looked at her and I said, you can help everybody else. When are you gonna help me? I don't know where it came. It just jumped out there. And she said, oh, you want some help now? You look a mess. Y'all know how y'all do. Y'all tries it to the dope fiend. You look a mess. I didn't think I looked all that bad and stuff in the mirror. So she took me to my first meeting at St. Veronica's in New York. I got on that bus that morning, and I sat in the back of that old white retarded bus with all y'all addicts and stuff, and we drove up the highway, and my high was coming down from the night before. And I kept saying, y'all need to pull over to the liquor store. And they had the gospel music going. And I put my earphones on, and they put me next to this old Indian dude with a bald head, and he was like farting every stinking. Talking about how he smoked crack with an umbrella up in the bathroom. And I said, oh, they are really sick on here. But they didn't. They just kept laughing and playing the gospel music till we got all the way to New York. And I came in that meeting, and I stood up against the back of the wall, and everybody was smiling and stuff. And it was this cute little guy. His name was James from New York. He died shortly after I came in here. And he looked at me and he said, welcome in out of the rain. And I was like, they really crazy. It ain't even raining outside. What is wrong? So my girlfriend started sharing. And in her share, she told her story. And I kept saying, oh, God, she's telling all her business. Then she brought me into her story, pointed me all out in the back, and I got my girlfriend here. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, God, sick people, sick people. But she brought me in, and that was the first glimmer that I could get better. The first glimmer of hope that maybe, possibly, I could stop using. You know, I did a whole lot of shit in New York. A lot of my friends and stuff is here from New York. When I went,
We went up to New York and stuff to go tricking me and my girlfriends and stuff. And we stopped downtown to ask the girls, well, where's the hustling spot? So she wrote it down on a piece of paper, and we had to catch the train up to the Bronx. And we just high reading the paper and stuff, and I got in front of the address, and the address was in front of the Bronx Zoo.
But being the fierce whore that I was, and my girlfriends, we tricked in front of the Bronx Zoo. You know, but, baby, you know, I watched her life change. She was my first sponsor, Tina T. You know, and it was very black and white for me. She was my friend, and I wanted everything like she had. I wanted some respect. I wanted to feel part of something. You know what I'm saying? And she was going to these meetings and stuff, and she carried me everywhere with her. You know, and she did things and stuff for me that my family didn't even do for me. She saw something in me. And I believed in her. And for my first 2 years of recovery, I didn't do this for me. I did it for her. Because she wanted me to live better. And she told me that I had never had to go out there again to do this stuff and use all the drugs and stuff. She was showing me that it was a better way to live. Now, when I first got clean, because I had all whore clothes and stuff. And I was going to meetings and stuff. She would trick me and tell me she'd be at meeting, to meet her at the meeting. She wouldn't be at the meeting. She'd be in the salon curling hair. But it was always somebody there to take me home. She always made sure I was home. But they used to tell on me. They said, oh, she had a dress cut all the way down to her, a crack of her ass. You know what I'm saying? That's all I had, okay? That's all I had. And she was saying, Miss Singh, you don't have to dress like that no more. I was telling my friends and stuff, you know, I'm here, and I've had so much fun this weekend and stuff with other addicts and stuff. You know, I mean, not judgmental. I could be myself, laugh, free to be me. Free to be me. You know, and all they care about is my welfare, and that I just stay on this path, on this journey. And it's been difficult and stuff. My sponsor did a meeting over on the other side yesterday. So you got to be careful what you say in these meetings. When you start talking about, oh, here go that faggot again. I'm sitting right behind him. What about you? So if you that goddamn insecure, you need to go inside. Because they say this is an inside job. You are not supposed to look at how much Mac I got on my face. Don't worry about what's up in my bra. I'm an addict, and I'm just not trying to use no more. Don't worry about who's butch and who's femme. God damn it, I done heard all y'all motherfucking stories. Yeah. And when you get honest, if you get honest, because I sat on the front row, God damn it, when you talked about at the end of the road you was with a faggot. I know how it felt, because I knew I hadn't fucked that many ugly motherfuckers while I was high. Now, it wasn't that much dope. Now, So when we come up here in these hallways, don't be in the corner whispering, what's that? Be grateful we're here. Love me like the program say we should love each other. You know, I don't mean to say these things. I really don't. I really didn't. I don't like doing this. I like having fun. Coming to the meetings because I like to listen to see how my life, I need some stability. I want peace in my life. I don't want to be in the hallway worrying about how you looking at me. I'm trying to hear the message of recovery. I'm trying to hear you share your experience, strength, and hope. For real, I'm too old to be worrying about who, a nigga fucking me after the dance or all that other shit. I'd be tired. You know, but this is a program, and it's supposed to be a spiritual program, a loving program. We need to be loving each other, not talking, biting people's back out. For real, I don't give a fuck what you say about me when I leave out of here. I'm going to go back to D.C. and I'm going to do my meetings everywhere. Straight, gay, women's rap, a whole bunch of shit. I go where the fuck I want to in Narcotics Anonymous. And for real, it's y'all fault. You gave me steps. I done worked on some shit. You know what I'm saying? You told me how to hold my head up high. You told me how to love myself. And that's what I'm trying to do today. You know, it's just, my life is wonderful. I have people in my life that love me. You know, that honestly love me. I got a girlfriend here. Stand up, Shanice. She be trying it. She be trying. They say we look alike. But I'm prettier than her and younger. But that's my best friend, y'all. I know she got my back. And if you don't have nobody in your life that don't have your back, regardless of, and I'm telling you, I'm wrong a lot of days. But I got people who love me enough to say, bitch, you know you was dead wrong, but I got your back. You know, it's something about this. I don't have the cue cards. I don't have the basic text because I did so many drugs. I can't retain all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I can't quote and misquote stuff from the basic text to y'all. You know what I'm saying? And plus, it's my own interpretation of the steps. Get your own goddamn experience. It's not my job to bring the basic text and stuff up here to quote to you. You're supposed to be doing that shit with your sponsor. Stay in pain. Stay up against the wall. Go crazy. Fuck it. I didn't cuss. I didn't got my life. And if they never, ever ask me to share, I am fine. I don't want to be on a speaking circuit. Y'all are vicious. Y'all are rude. The children was sharing up there, and the people was walking back and forth with a speaker drinking water. That's rude. That's rude. If you're going to do that shit, go outside some damn way. It's people in here trying to save their life. This is an awesome program. Give yourself a chance. Newcomer, fuck them. Share. Share down in the meeting. Share down. That's the only way you're going to get help, by letting somebody know who you are. Share down. We're going to love you anyway. Anyway, look at me. From the borough. From the fire borough. I got a fierce job. They talk in July and stuff, you know, because they encourage you in here. Get your housework done. Renovate your house. Baby, I signed them papers and stuff. They start talking about the economy and shit. I said, oh, my God. They laying off people left and right. 26 one week, 29 last week.
Look, all my whole space around me is just getting emptier and emptier. My boss asked me for lunch, go to lunch the other day. I said, oh, hell no. No. He said, I really just want to have lunch with you. But the spiritual part of this program, and what I'm learning is I'm supposed to trust in my higher power that no matter what happened, but dear God, don't let me lose my job right now. I'll lose my mind. But I've been so blessed. Child, fuck it. I'm working on my house. I'm renovating my house. And I just want to live now. I'm talking about a dope fiend that didn't even think. I didn't even think about being 30. Who wanted to be old, an old hooker? Now, I didn't think about none of that stuff. I thought I was going to OD somewhere. And I tried. I was the one that they would talk about in the oil joints and stuff. Oh, you know that child just OD'd. And I said, oh, that's a shame. But who they got from? You know? This is awesome. New York does unity. Baltimore does free to be me. Be yourself and don't worry about what they say. You know what I'm saying? Live life. Go after your goals and your dreams and be what and whoever you want to be. Stop living. We live too long hiding in the alleys and shit. It's about a new way to live. I'm about over it. This was fierce. I want to thank the area. I know y'all going to think about it next time. But that's okay. You know, I just want to tell my sponsor, my sponsoring family, and my friends that I love y'all. Please stay in my life. And I'm just going to try to do what y'all say. Y'all make me sick. And I just want to thank all of y'all, and thank you for letting me share.